Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is sacked. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
That's game time right there. That's game time right there.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
This is Mark Kelso filling in for John Murphy this evening. Bills safety Denoris Searcy will be in studio to discuss the battle in the Bills' backfield. And former Bills linebacker and now NFL analyst Sean Merriman, who, if you recall, spent 3 years here in Buffalo, will be here at the top of the hour as well.
This place is pandemonium.
Down to the one, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson, touchdown, Buffalo.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, I don't know about you fans, but I'm getting excited just hearing John's voice talking about touchdowns and these running backs a little bit early here, the third week of OTAs. And as we've attested to before, veterans like myself kind of hate these OTAs, but they're valuable for the rookies. Like I mentioned at the opening, Murph is not here tonight, but Bills safety Denoris Searcy will join us to discuss the battle in the Bills backfield and how they're progressing. I think Coach Schwartz had mentioned how well he had thought that they had been performing here through the OTAs. NFL Network analyst Sean Merriman will join us at the top of the hour as well. Well, how about this in OTAs? We got Paul Peck here as well, too, right? Paul Peck
Let's
is
welcome in, Paul Peck.
Yeah, welcome in, Paul Peck.
Good to be on with you guys. You know, I just hang around the stadium here. You know, in case you need me, you fill in a little bit. I'm always available. Now, I had a meeting here at the stadium and heard Murph was sick and heard you were coming in, so came to say hello and you guys roped me into hanging out a little bit. Which, you know what? What could be wrong? What could be worse? A lot of things worse than hanging out talking football with my man Jay Harris and Mark Kelso here and Ralph Wilson Sam. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, there you go. Sometimes I'll stop by too when I'm kind of out and hearing Murph talk Bills football. But we'll talk a little bit about that. Talk about the UB Bulls
sure.
a little bit and what their expectations are this evening
sure.
with that outstanding season they had last year and of course Khalil Mack
and a couple of Bulls here on the Bills roster
pick.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is great to see.
Yeah, we can talk about that. But how about this for Brandon Spike? So after today's practice, Brandon Spike says the Bills are ready to shock the world this season. I'm not sure what that means exactly.
but maybe we need to find out, right?
Yeah, what does it mean? Overtaking the Patriots or just simply making the playoffs? But we want to hear from you, the callers, 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2500. So call in. Tell us what you think Brandon Spikes might have meant by ready to shock the world this season. Although I've heard really good things about his arrival here in Western New York and what he's going to add to that linebacking core.
I love that signing. Of all the free agent signings in the offseason, I think the Brandon Spikes one was the one that I liked the most, Mark. Partly on the football side, it filled really one of the Bills' biggest holes. They needed a run-stuffing linebacker at that middle linebacker spot in this new 4-3 defense, and boy, that's what Brandon Spikes is good at. We know that. We've seen him do that to the Bills when he was with the Patriots. But what I like about the other part about Brandon Spikes is he's a personality. He's a guy who seems to love playing football. He's a little outlandish. He's crazy, all kinds of stuff on Twitter. He's making cool statements, shocking the world. I don't know what it means, but I like it. I like when guys do that. So, you know what? It's always good when you get a little life in the locker room. Nobody knows that better than you. You were part of a team that had a lot of guys that brought a lot of life to the locker room, and I would think that you'd say that was as big a part of it as what they did on the football field.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And guys liking each other in the locker room and understanding what you need to do to put a quality product on the field. Brandon Spikes has been in an organization that's had a lot of success during his young career. Hopefully he can bring some of that attitude, what you need to do day in and day out in a practice setting so that you're prepared to play on Sunday afternoon, which most of the Bills games are Sunday afternoon this year anyways, except the lone game in Miami, right?
Right.
The Thursday night game.
Just the Thursday night game. And the fact that he comes from your biggest rival with a chip on his shoulder about beating and proving that biggest rival wrong, what's there not to like as a Bills fan? It's to get a guy from the Patriots, so now you know that he knows how to win. He knows he's good. good, and he's mad at the Patriots, and he's going to try to take it out on them twice this year. What more would you want?
Well, and you see those guys that come in, and I've been to a couple OTAs. I was at a rookie OTA, and then I was at one of a couple of the veteran OTAs already as well. And you see a guy like Brandon Spikes and Rivers as well. Those guys really understand a lot of instinctiveness at that linebacker position. Understand, we've talked a lot about when we were doing the broadcast together about leverage control and how linebackers understand leverage control, whether they need to be inside or outside a particular receiver that they might be covering. And he is a guy that really understands that in pass coverage in the early downs. Not sure if he'll be on the field on third downs. I'm sure he's going to make an effort in the preseason to try to maintain that position three downs. And be that three-down linebacker. But those guys, the Bills have picked up some really good experience defensively, and with the growth of this secondary, albeit the departure of Jairus Byrd this year, but I think Aaron Williams is poised to take that position and become one of the top safeties in the NFL. And Denoris Searcy is extremely instinctive at that position as well, and really like what he can do and like what he's demonstrated in his young career. He'll have an opportunity now to step up and enjoy more playing time.
I know. You know, you're obviously an aficionado of safety play. I know that about you personally, but as most people would expect based on where you played in your career, when you hear Jim Schwartz talk about wanting both safeties to be interchangeable and that the game has changed where there isn't that classic strong safety that's the more physical in the box player and there isn't the classic center fielder like you used to play as a free safety, is it legit? Is it doable for someone to be both things, or do you want to have a guy whose skills might lend themselves to one spot or the other?
Well, let's talk about a couple things. First of all, let's talk about the really elite safeties and what the skill set is of those elite safeties. The skill set of the elite safety, and I'm not branding anybody on the Bills roster now or anybody in the league particularly. Maybe we'll mention a couple guys in the league. But when you get a guy who's at that elite level, he can patrol center field. He's good in cover two. He can drop down in the box, and he can cover a guy, probably the third receiver on the opposition's roster, man-to-man in a blitz situation when you're bringing the nickel off on a blitz situation. So those are the guys that are the elite guys. Now you have guys that have certain skill sets where they're better in the deep half or they're better in the box area, the Bills have guys on their roster that fit those type of roles. I mean, Aaron Williams is the guy that I think can come down and cover guys if they bring Ron Brooks or Nickell Robey off the corner, off the head of the slot, like we say. But Denoris is more suited to being a box safety and can blitz off the edge like he was a linebacker or a hybrid linebacker, can come down and cover tight ends. I don't know if you're going to put him on the third receiver out there, but tremendous instincts that he has. And he hasn't played a lot in the deep half, and I think Denoris will mention some of that tonight as well when he's in studio about how he's working on playing in the deep half or the deep third, something that he's not as accustomed to doing that he's got to become very proficient as. I would think that would be something that he could develop pretty well, being the instinctiveness that he has.
Is it all about wanting to not tip your hand as a defensive coordinator? Is that why Jim Schwartz says he wants to have both guys able to play both positions? Is it all about an offense can't come out there and see where Searcy being an inside-the-box strong safety is, and the free safety is another play? I mean, is really that what the inspiration behind that is?
Well, it's all about that's part of it, I think, Paul. It's all about leverage control and outflanking the defense. So if you're an offensive coordinator, you want to outflank the defense. Well, how are you going to do that? You can do that with motion. You're going to do that with pre-snap movement with the tight end. And now you're right. If you have a guy who's a better box guy and he's going to come down and be a very effective run defender from the safety position, you're not going to run that way. You're going to create a situation where you can run the opposite way. So if you're going to bring a guy down who maybe that's not his strongest skill set, or if you're in a blitz situation, you might want to move guys around as an offensive coordinator if you think the Bills are in a situation where they might blitz off that nickel cornerback might come off the edge. You might want to get him in a situation when that third receiver is matched up with a guy who might not have as good a coverage skills as, say, a cornerback, which, of course, Aaron Williams came from the cornerback position when he was drafted out of Texas. So it's all about personnel matchups. And when you think about that, you think about even the Bills draft with Sammy Watkins. Why did they draft the guy? Why did they trade up to get the most dynamic receiver in the draft? Because it's all about matchups. They need more production in the red area, and he's a guy that can create that with the matchup situation. They need better production on third down, and he can do that exact same thing. So it's all about matchups. Can a linebacker cover a big tight end who's really a big receiver? Or can a linebacker be a run stuffer but play the pass on third down? And if they can't do those things, then you've got to create situations where you put the right personnel in on the field. And if the opposing offense or defense, conversely, can take advantage of those personnel situations, then it becomes advantageous to that team.
I know you. I'm gonna get like overly philosophical when I say this to you, because I know you enjoy this nuances of football. But are the athletes better now that more guys can do more things than maybe they were when you played or when they were 15 years ago? I mean, is that where the nature of all this comes? That there are human beings who can be a linebacker who covers plays the run and holds the edge as well as he covers a tight end. Maybe those guys didn't exist 20 years ago.
Well, and those are the guys that are signing big contracts and getting drafted really early.
Right.
Because when you have a skill set that's multifaceted like that, I mean, you become an extremely valuable commodity. And you've seen a number of safeties taken in the early rounds of the draft, like an Eric Berry at Kansas
sure.
City, who can do all those things. But those are the elite guys. Those are the guys that, you know, if they play well and up to their level of expectations, those are the guys that are going to be multiple Pro Bowl guys and someday have a chance to go in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, that skill set is very difficult, and that's why you see defenses and offenses, too, matching up in particular situations. I mean, why did New England sign Wes Welker? Why do they have Edelman in that slot position? Because they're extremely quick, and now they're playing against a third cornerback or a linebacker, and they have the personnel advantage in that situation because of their quickness, and it creates a lot of advantages for their offense
yeah,
on third down.
I mean, I'll give you an example from my perspective. I have the honor of being the radio announcer for the University of Buffalo football team, which means I got to see Khalil Mack play all of his games in his career, and we all know what a great player was. And people always ask me about him, and I always tell them the plays that jumped out at me from Khalil Mack were when he dropped in coverage, which is amazing for a linebacker, and it's not what he's going to do in the NFL because he's too good a pass rusher. You don't want to waste him, but I think that's a little bit of what you're talking about. There's a kid who is just as adept at dropping in coverage and making one-handed interceptions as he is at pass rushing and sacking the quarterback, and I think that's why he came from somewhat off the radar to be in the number 5 or number 4 overall pick in the draft, because I think the NFL looked at it and said there isn't anything that this guy can't do.
Yeah, and he's not, I mean, we would say some guys are a liability in pass coverage. He's certainly not in that situation. So his asset is his speed off the edge. He's got a lot of strength as well. He could probably play the will linebacker and make a lot of plays.
Middle linebacker,
well, he could pretty much play anything, but that's why he's such a valuable commodity. That's why he went so high in the draft, because of the athleticism that he has and the skill that he has to be a three-down linebacker, that he can drop in coverage. And you get some guys that are good at the line of scrimmage, some guys that are good off, but it's a rare find when you get a guy with that athleticism, that size and speed, and can play equally well on the line of scrimmage or off the line of scrimmage. We're still waiting for some callers to call in and tell us what they think about Brandon Spike's comment. Was that today? After today's practice, I think it was.
That was today after today's OTA session, and I can play that for you if you'd like.
And I'm guessing the defense had a good day today then, because I was not here at practice today. But yeah, why don't you play that clip for us?
Yeah, let's hear this, and then you'll hear the shock the world comment, and then you let us know what you think shocking the world is. Is that beating the Patriots, winning the division? Is that going to be just making it to the playoffs, or does that mean shocking the world as in a Super Bowl championship? Let's hear this, and then hopefully we'll get some calls in.
You know, the calls are something that I know that's come easy to you for a long time now, but, you know, new place, new faces, just maybe spell out how you feel it's all coming together.
Well, I think it's a whole unit we've been, you know, building every day, getting better, and that's the whole goal, to come out here, you know, build some trust, you know, letting old guys I can be accountable, you know, getting guys set up, and we just want to get better each and every day, take advantage of these OTAs, even though they're not mandatory, but we had a big crowd here, so we're just trying to get better.
Kyle Williams was telling me last week, he said, you know, I like how Brandon sounds behind me. He said, you know, we had only one slip up in the first 3 days, he said, and Brandon said, that's on me, I'll get it right the next time. So he says, you know, he said, so maybe just talk to me about you know, you got to make an impression on these guys that don't know you in the huddle every day.
Exactly. Well, me personally, you know, that just comes with the territory, you know, playing Mike linebacker. You know, you're like the quarterback of the defense, and I feel like if we have a, you know, blown coverage, we're not on the same page. It's my fault, and, you know, and I embrace that role. So, like I said, I'm just out here, you know, letting guys know I'm here, I'm ready to get better, and I'm all in. So, you know, I think we're going to shock the world this year. So I'm anxious, and I think the defense is anxious too. So we're ready to, you know, open some eyes.
I know there's some mixing and matching going on, you know, with guys that are coming back off off-season stuff. How do you try to keep the level of play high, even though you got bodies coming in and out a lot in this kind of a setting?
Well, you know, it's just, you know, it's just game. You know, you never know who's going to go down, whose number, you know, whose number's called, and you just want to be out and be ready, be accountable, and try to seize that moment. You just don't want to be that guy when your number's called and you go out there and mess it up and blow it up, because everybody remembers that guy, even the fans. So, you know, just like I said, you just want to be accountable to this whole unit, to this team, and, you know, to the defense.
You're in your third week of OTAs, third week, you know, basically you're practicing with this team. Can you assess what you guys have, particularly in the linebacking unit and on defense here? Anything surprising?
Nothing surprised me. You know, we got a lot of guys that can do it all, you know, as far as, you know, covering and playing the run. So we just want to be, you know, basically be able to do it, you know, be able to do it all and, like I said, be accountable and, you know, just try to get in, get your number called, and play at a high level and get the job done, you know. All, for me, it's all about production. You know, you want to be on the field making stuff happen, being a game changer and making plays. So, you know, I'm anxious to get in front of those, the Bills Mafia, so it's going to be fun.
The LB's had some plays on the ball today. I mean,
Yeah.
You know, every time your position group gets in the books right for some picks, that's a good day, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Well, the position coach been getting on us. We've been getting our hands on it. We weren't able to bring it in, but today I think we had two interceptions, so that's something to build off of. Tomorrow we're going to just try to keep going and see if we can get some more balls. You know, Go ahead. Sorry.
So is that your first time playing the wedge on a kick return unit?
Yeah, absolutely. But like I said, I'm all in. Anything they ask me to do, I'm going to try to get it done at a high level. So whatever it may be. I hadn't played special teams since middle school, maybe, but it's fun. So it's something new, so just keep it interesting.
It's
so
a fun position to play,
though. Right. I just know you got to keep the head on the swivel, though. Yeah, I was working on special teams.
How would you race that in the regular game?
Like I said, I'm here. You know, you never know. If a guy, you know, go down, I got to get out there. Even though I'm one of the starting linebackers, I got to get out there and get it done. So can't miss a beat. So like I said, all in, man. So I'm ready to go.
So shock the world means Brandon Spikes is going to be on special teams this year for the Buffalo Bills. Now, it was kind of a docile comment, and I think him trying to express what he feels that this defense is capable of. Certainly, I heard Coach Schwartz last week talk about how the most impressive unit to him has been the defensive backfield so far. But, I mean, really, in OTAs, there's only three groups that can impress, and that's the defensive backs, the receivers, or the quarterback, because they're the ones that have the most opportunity. And because the defensive and offensive linemen are not going live, and it's kind of they're pushing on each other. I mean, there's obviously some pushing and shoving going on in there, and occasionally they're playing as if they had pads on, even if they don't. But certainly you can't really play like you're capable of in OTAs, like you're capable of at the offensive and defensive line in with full equipment on, no question.
Yeah, and I know it's sort of your question of the night here. What do you think Brandon Spikes meant by shock the world? I can't help but think that what Brandon means and what Bills fans may interpret that might be completely different. You know, I mean, it might be a win or a sweep of the Patriots. That would make a lot of people pretty happy around here. That would make Brandon Spikes happy. But I would sense that Brandon Spikes, where he comes from and the winning ways that he comes from, probably has higher standards than that when he references shocking the world.
Yeah, I would guess. But here's the word that I heard three times during the course of that interview with Chris Brown: accountability. And that's something I think the Coach Marone and the coaching staff has been preaching here with this young club, accountability. I think they have some guys on this team that are buying into that program. And when you get a guy who's had it's the veteran leadership on a quality football team that's been to the Super Bowl, and he's talking about accountability, and he's doing everything he needs to do to make sure that these young guys understand the preparation that it takes day in and day out to be successful on Sunday. I really like that. That's a great signing when you can sign a guy like that who understands how important he is to the success of the organization, and hopefully that rubs off on these young guys.
Well, I mean, when you're coming from New England, they're really it's not a warm and fuzzy place to be as a player. So it's winning and it's being accountable, because that's what obviously Belichick holds everybody to, at and Tom Brady and the rest of those guys, because they do have established a tradition of winning there. So you would think if there's one player on this team who understands that better than anybody, it's going to be Spikes, because And you could argue that some of the reason he's not with New England is maybe he bristled a little bit at some of the Belichickian ways that go on there, and maybe that's why he's not there anymore. But accountability, and again, I know you've seen this in your football career, particularly when guys come in from other organizations that have won or coaches, it raises the level of everyone else around them. It's all about rubbing off and winning and knowing, boy, that guy really, he won where he was, I'm going to listen to what he has to say.
Well, it's instant credibility in the locker room, and it's an opportunity to model and emulate behavior that's going to take you to where you haven't been in a long time, and that's the playoffs. And I know that's the goal that this team has, and is it an achievable goal? I don't know. Let's start with the number of wins, and let's start with winning in divisional games, and so that you put yourselves in the right position. But they've got to correct a number of issues that they had last year on both sides of the football. Defensively played very well, but gave up big plays in both the pass game and the run game. They need to correct those things. And offensively, there's some things that they need to correct. They've addressed all those things via free agency in the draft. And if those players play up to those expectations and they get that accountability in the locker room, then the future looks pretty bright here if those guys, again, if they play up to their level of expectation.
And I'm excited. And again, a lot of the future, and I know a lot of the focus and the thought of the fans is on EJ Manuel and what he'll mean to the success. And I'm just excited to see him get a whole offseason. I thought his rookie year outside of the injuries was about typical for a rookie quarterback year last year. There were some good games. There were some good moments. There were some bad ones. I think we've all been fooled by the Andrew Lux of the world and the Roethlisbergers and Russell Wilsons that dropped into very good teams and played very well at rookies, that all of a sudden is the standard for rookie quarterbacks. And I don't know that that's in any sense of reality at all. So when you look at EJ, I thought he showed enough signs to me that he's got the skills to be successful. What he didn't have, partly due to the injury, but partly due to being a rookie, was the experience, knowing what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. And that's where this whole offseason of training and learning and studying will come into play. And I think we'll get a much better barometer of what EJ is as a quarterback this year. And I'm encouraged by it. I think I see a lot of talent and a lot of smarts and a lot of guts in what I see from him. And those are all the qualities that you want to have in a quarterback.
Well, and a good offseason conditioning, strength and conditioning program where he'll put on about 15 pounds. He'll be stronger. He understands that you can run the ball to escape trouble. You can run the ball in a critical situation, but otherwise you got to get out of bounds and you got to preserve yourself, preserve
sure.
your body a little bit. The offensive line had some discontinuity by virtue of some injuries, and they've made a lot of great acquisitions. Actually talked to Cyrus, it's Cyrus, right? Cyrus
yep.
Quangio.
Quangio, yes.
Talked to his high school coach, who was a teammate of mine at William &
Mary.
Oh,
no kidding.
Talked about the high character that the young man that he is, and what a quality young man and football player he is. And I think there's going to be the draft this year is going to bear a lot of fruit, particularly at the offensive line, and hopefully they'll have some continuity. So that will help. And look at Tom Brady's numbers last year, some of the lowest of his career, particularly in completion, because he's working with a lot of young receivers.
Right. I was going to say, how much of that is him getting older? How much of that right. was they didn't have a very good receiving core last
right.
year?
Right, and guys are,
and he lost Gronkowski for most of the year.
Well, and the receiving tree is different now because based on the coverage, they're running different patterns, so now they're not on the same page. And you look at that, and you look at EJ Manuel, and you say, well, not only is he a rookie quarterback, he's dealing with a lot of young receivers as well. So difficult for those guys to be on the same page. There should be marked improvement this year, and there needs to be if the Bills are going to be successful, and every indication is that's what will occur. What do we got here now? So we're still looking for calls at some point, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2500, and we're looking at the – forget what we're going to do. See, this isn't an easy job.
I thought we
this
taught you better
job.
Than this. Didn't Murph
no,
and I teach
no,
you better?
No, come on. We got Denora Searcy coming down. We got Denora Searcy. He's going to be here with insider Chris Brown because he's going to talk about the OTAs now. And this is the John Murphy Show brought to you by NOCO. That's what I'm supposed to do. Close out the segment. Brought to you by NOCO, the John Murphy Show. Sorry he's not here tonight. We're filling in for him.
That's why the music's playing. It's like the Emmys. I'm trying to tell you to
see?
Shut up.
It's not so easy. You get to sit there and be the expert and get asked all the questions. Here you got to run the show. It's a little harder,
I know,
isn't
it's
it?
A little harder.
That was great. You guys did a very good segment. Let's take it to break. We'll be back.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yeah, yeah, messed up that break, didn't I? The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio. After this morning's OTAs, Bills safety Denoris Cirsty sat down with insider Chris Brown. They talked about the changes in the Bills' backfield with the new coordinator, Coach Schwartz, coming over from Detroit, the new defensive system, and the current battle at the safety position opposite Aaron Williams, that is, with the contract that he got. He will man that other spot in place of Jairus Byrd, who left to, I should say, defected to go to New Orleans, right? Here's Chris Brown with more on Denoris Cirsty.
Denoris Cirsty joining us here on the John Murphy Show. Chris Brown here with you. And Denoris, this is the third week of OTAs. Where is the secondary better now than maybe you guys were as a unit in week one?
I would say we're a lot better, meaning because last year we had to learn a lot of different terminologies, but this year the terms are pretty much the same. So we pretty much is using the same communications on the back end with each other, and we're not having to work with new guys. Only new guys we really have to work with is Corey and Ross, the rookie. That's about it.
So, you know, you look at it, and everybody says, you know, when the scheme changes defensively, it doesn't really affect the secondary all that much. Cover one is cover one, cover two is cover two, three deep is three deep. But maybe explain what changes, even if they're subtle, might take place when you undergo a scheme change.
The way a proper technique may be taught, it may be taught a different way in one scheme, and with a whole new scheme, maybe taught a whole different way. So sometimes we kind of bump heads in the room because we're probably try to refer the term back to what we used it last year, but that may not be the case. It may be used a whole different way this year. So we just got to remember that we're not living in the past. We got to move it forward and keep it going with how it's supposed to be used now.
So how much of that exists here?
Not too much. It was okay. More so we got those out of the way before OTAs. When we have our little group meetings together, we had to work through that. Like I said, with some of the terms was the same, but it was used a different way in this mm-hmm. game. So that's what we use the meetings we had before OTAs. We use those to get reacclimated and get adjusted to them.
Denoris Cirsty joining us here on the John Murphy Show. And you've been a guy that's been mixed and matched with a lot of people over these first couple of weeks of OTAs. You know, Aaron was out of the team setting coming back from off-season procedure.
Right.
And so week one of OTAs, you're in there with Duke. Week two of OTAs, Meeks was in there, I think, a little bit more with you. You know, now week three, Aaron's working his way back in.
Right.
How have you worked? I mean, you're going back to safety to begin with, which we'll get to in a second. But, you know, here we are, week one, you got one guy. Week two, you got another guy, and you're in a new scheme. How are you working through that? Because the communication is a big thing back there.
I would say so, but we pretty much did the same thing we did last OTAs with mixing, matching guys. So okay. I was able to work with both Duke and Meeks last offseason
okay.
and also doing training camp. So it was not too much of a big deal. We all still out there learning the scheme together and whatnot. So as long as we communicate, be on the same page, it doesn't matter who you're back there with.
And what is the value there? Because I think a lot of people from the outside worry and say, oh, my gosh, new scheme for Meeks and Duke Williams. I mean, it's a new scheme for everybody, but
right.
I mean, for Duke and Jonathan, I think a lot of people say, oh man, are they going to be like rookies again out there with their heads spinning around and everything? But they really got a decent handle on things last year, didn't they? I mean, from what you see here, do they seem pretty up to speed?
Oh, absolutely. Those guys are tough. They're smart, competitive guys. Like everybody had the same amount of time going in to learn the scheme, and they took advantage of it. So going out there, they showed their improvement, and they're out there able to make plays.
Now, let's just dial it back to 2013 for a second here. I mean, you were, for all intents and purposes, in that hybrid linebacker kind of nickel role thing. Is that gone now?
I hope not. that's extra value to my play.
Right.
I hope it's still in there. That I don't want that to leave. I like that little scheme, that little role for me. But if it is, then I just play safety. I have no problem with that either.
Yeah, because, I mean, we haven't seen a whole lot of the sub-package stuff yet in OTAs. It's been nickel and stuff in there, but
right.
not a whole. You haven't really got into the depth of what we usually see in training camp. And so I was just curious if you're taking that hat off and just putting the safety hat on and are you? And
I don't want to take it off. Hopefully we'll bring it in a little bit mini camp.
Okay.
We'll bring it in training camp. But if not, then I just made my home completely a safety.
What did you like most about that, playing in that role last year?
It reminded me a lot of high school. You're really just running around and chasing the ball, being able to make plays and be able to help the team out. So that was a lot of fun.
Now, looking at safety, I mean, you've spent a lot of time there, you know, through these practices here in June. Do you feel like you're back at home? How does it feel?
It's pretty much the same. I mean, I never really left. I just expanded my value and expanded what I could do. And then what I could do is just pretty much play anywhere and just use my athletic ability and just be able to make plays wherever they put me. So just going back to safety was just going back to the original home where I started it.
And you got Donnie, who's, you know, your secondary coach, which allows for even more carryover from the year before. He knows you. You don't. I mean, obviously everybody wants to prove themselves to Coach Schwartz. But, you know, you have an ally, I guess, in Coach Henderson because he knows what you are, what you're capable of. Do you even think about that stuff when you step on the practice field? Like, I got a coach that believes in me. I'm just curious what the player thinks. New coordinator, got to impress him, but I got a position coach that knows what I am and what I can do.
Well, every year you pretty much competing for a job. So even though, like you said, we have an ally back there, he has somebody that's over him. We have somebody that's over us. So we still got to go out there and prove what we're worth. Like I said, you got to go out there with the mind frame of you competing for opportunity, competing for a job.
And now let's talk about that competition because that's what the fans want to know. They want who's going to be lining up because, I mean, I think a lot of people feel Aaron's got a pretty good handle on one of the safety spots.
Right.
And so now it's you and a couple of young guys behind you in Meeks and Duke that, you know, for all intents and purposes are vying for that other spot to line up next to Aaron. So, you know, competition's nothing new for you or anybody really at this level.
Right.
But how do you approach it when you're in a situation like that where it's not even a two-horse race just yet? It's still a three-horse race for the most part.
I just take it one day at a time. Like, control only what I can control. Just go out there, make sure all my communications are at the point. Make sure I talk things out with the guys out on the field with me so we all could be in the best position possible to make plays.
Now, here's another dynamic of the competition that I think is interesting, and we already talked about it. The fact that all three were here last year. Everybody knows everybody.
Right.
So how does that affect the competition dynamic? Because I got to think if some newcomer comes in, you know, in the off season, you never played with the guy, all of a sudden he's wearing the same uniform, he's playing next to you as your teammate now, but you're also competing for him with a job.
Right.
I'm thinking it might be a little more adversarial. Do you know what I mean? And here, you know Jonathan, you know Duke, you've worked together for over a year. How does the dynamic of the competition change, if at all, and just in terms of getting along with one another?
Well, we all understand that we are out there competing for a spot, but we also always encourage one another to just get better and just continue to go out there and compete. We always want to, especially in our group, the defensive back, we always encourage each other. We may argue, as family members do. We may argue. But at the end of the day, it always comes down to winning. So we always behind each other, supporting one another.
A lot of the corners are talking about one of the newcomers in Corey Graham. Just one of these guys that just seems to have that veteran savvy. And I know sometimes safeties can see more of the field and may be able to have an opportunity at times to appreciate, you know, the game of a teammate because of where they're sitting out there in center field.
Right.
What have you seen from Corey over the first 2-plus weeks that, you know, what's your impression of him? I mean, you knew he was coming in with a Super Bowl ring. You knew he'd been in the league 7-8 years.
Right.
But what about his game that maybe you didn't know? Have you kind of learned here through the first couple of weeks seeing him work?
Pretty much, we call him Unc because he's the oldest one in the room. We call him Unc. He don't like it, but I mean, it's growing.
Short
on,
for Uncle, I'm
yeah,
guessing.
Yeah, it's growing on him now, so he cool with it. But like you say, he's a savage veteran. He goes out there. He plays. He competes on every play, every down. Sometimes, man, him be on the sideline. We be talking about like what routes we could get or what route they just ran. And it's just he's always out there communicating. That's what you need, another leader. And it don't have to come from the safeties. It can also come from inside because he plays a little nickel and he plays a little corner. Mm-hmm. So he giving us his insight from playing nickel and corner, which helps us because if he can see one thing and we see it as well, that's just another opportunity for us to make a play on the ball.
And if he ever has a problem with Unc, you just tell him, hey, it's better than Gramps.
Right. Well, we could call him Gramps because he's still just 28. So, but he's still the oldest of the group because Leotis hasn't turned 28 yet. So we call him Unc. That's it.
All right. Denora Searcy joining us here on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Last one here for you, Denoris. What part of what Coach Schwartz or Coach Henderson wants out of your position specifically in this scheme are you working to perfect the most? You personally, just in that role, to show him you belong out there.
Me personally, I want to continue to grow as a player and keep just perfecting the cover two, because I didn't play a lot of cover two drops. I always played cover four or cover three. So that I felt that was always easy to me, play three and cover four. But just got to learn to just get better in my back end coverage of cover two, because it's a little different for me. That's it.
All right, Denoris. Listen, thanks very much for the time.
No problem.
All right. We look forward to seeing you out there at training camp, and I'm sure Murph will have you on the show again sometime soon. You're a good interview, man.
All right, cool.
All right, that's Denoris Searcy. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's Denoris Searcy with Chris Brown here on the Buffalo on John Murphy show on the Buffalo Bills radio. Let me just talk just for a minute about Coach Henderson. I really love the things that he does in the defensive backfield. I mean, guys, Liotis had the best year of his career last year.
Aaron Williams.
The things that he was able to do, the growth that Aaron Williams showed transitioning from the cornerback position to safety position, not an easy thing to do, because in the cornerback position, you really are a half-sided guy. So you're seeing only half the field, and you traditionally, unless in some zone situations, you got to be concerned if there's a tight receiver on the other side that might end up in your zone area. But generally, you're playing on your half of the field. And, and sometimes you're on the other side if it's man coverage and receivers motion over. But generally, you're a half-sided guy. And when you're at the safety position, now you got to see the entire thing. And you got to have peripheral vision that includes the widest guys on both sides of the field. So very important to get those guys to be able to play. And it's hard. That transition sometimes is hard. Coach Henderson is on these guys all the time, but always teaching. It's not.
There's a difference between being hard on a guy and then actually teaching to the point where they actually respect that. We've heard all offseason last year and this year about how much respect there is coming from Coach Henderson.
Yeah, and again, like you say, always teaching and always getting them to do the little things right, understanding that defensive back play is all about angles, all about leverage control, and all about movement. And if they move well and move efficiently, they're going to make more plays. And again, completely apparent, but it's going to be interesting this year with a healthy Stephon Gilmore and Liotis McKelvin, and then those guys inside, and with the addition of the veteran presence of Corey Graham. It's going to be a dynamic Bills secondary this year. They should be able to lead that defensive unit, hopefully get some pressure up front again. This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio, brought to you by NOCO. We'll be back after these messages.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And we're talking Bills football here on the John Murphy Show, and we heard Brandon Spikes say earlier about how the Bills are going to shock the world. Don't think he meant a whole lot by it, but he's excited to be a part of this team and bringing an air of accountability from a team where he understands how you need to prepare day in and day out for this team. And Denoris Searcy talking about the expectations for the Bills secondary, and now it looks like we have a call on the line. Carl from Clarence has a question here for the John Murphy Radio Show.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Carl. How you doing today?
Anything else, I got to tell you, I really believe in my heart you should be a position coach at the very least in the NFL. You have so much knowledge. You know just what goes wrong with a play, what goes right with a play, and I hope that's in your future, because you'd be a great one, I feel.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Now, you don't have $1 billion or anything to buy the team and put me in that spot, do you?
Not yet. Don't hold your breath.
Okay.
But here's my question. What if EJ doesn't work out? What's the next move? And I hate to be a skunk at the party, but I don't think he's gone.
I'll tell you what, it's like taking that whole deck of cards, a 52-card pickup, and throwing them up in the air and saying, what the heck do we do now? I personally think that EJ has the tools that he needs. I think last year, one of the things you saw last year were there several things going on here. One is you got a rookie quarterback. Okay, a quarterback who took a lot of snaps in a shotgun in college who now has to get up under center. So there's an adjustment that had to occur there. Number two, you've got a quarterback who athletically is very athletic. He's good size, 6'4", 220 pounds, 218 pounds. But he needed a year in a strength and conditioning, off-season strength and conditioning program, so that he can strengthen his upper body, so that he can prepare to take the hits that he's going to receive in the NFL, unlike when he was at Florida State. And now he's dealing with rookie receivers and then his veteran receivers in TJ Graham and Robert Woods, forgetting guy's name.
Marquise Goodwin.
Well, those guys, I mean, he's dealing with some rookie receivers in Goodwin and Woods, but then he's dealing with Stevie Johnson, and Stevie wasn't a conventional route runner either. Right. So now he's dealing with guys that aren't necessarily going to be in the position where he expects them to be in. Those young guys, you know, much like Sammy Watkins is going to experience this year coming into the league, is they're going to expand his passing tree. He's going to have to run more routes than he did when he was at Clemson, and just like Robert Woods at USC and Marquise Goodwin's down in Texas, they had their passing tree is going to expand, and they might not be exactly where EJ thinks they're going to be. Then the ball's going to sail on him a little bit. So, you know, I think he has the skill set to be a really effective quarterback in this league. The offensive line will have more continuity this year. I think he's a young man of very high character who's going to be a leader in the locker room and is going to put in all the extra time that he needs to be a leader at that quarterback position. So I personally do think he'll pan out. I don't know, and I'm sure that the Bills are not anticipating that he won't, because if he doesn't pan out, it's going to be a real retooling process, and hopefully that won't happen. But I appreciate that call, Carl.
No, thank you.
Great. This is we're going to go to break now. This is the John Murphy Show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, brought to you by NOCO. We'll be back after these messages.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, this is the John Murphy Show, but this is not John Murphy. This is Mark Kelso filling in for John Murphy on the John Murphy Show. And that segment that people just heard, they're talking about Coach Schwartz and his impression of Nickell Robey. And he said he's extremely impressed with Nickell Robey, him and everybody else in Western New York. I mean, where did he come from last year as a free agent? But will have a big part to play in this Bills defense, particularly at that nickel position, and comes off on the blitz extremely well and great in man coverage. And just he was a dynamic player last year in his rookie campaign here for the Buffalo Bills. We have Sean Merriman on the phone here from, I think he must be in San Diego, working for the NFL Network right now and keeping his eye on action around the league. If you recall, Sean was drafted in the first round, the 12th pick out of Maryland by the San Diego Chargers, and had a tremendous career out there in San Diego before he joined the Bills for three seasons here in Buffalo, 2010 through 2012, and was coming off a torn Achilles tendon, so his production here was not what it had been in San Diego. But he was the defensive rookie of the year in his 2005 campaign, ended up with 45 sacks in his career, and had an outstanding career. I think he played, we can ask him, I guess, when we get him on the line, I think he played for Ralph Friedgen. Did you play for Coach Friedgen at Maryland, Sean?
Yeah, I did, actually. I wasn't recruited by him, but my first year he was there after they won that Gator Bowl.
And he's a William & Mary guy, so I always got to find a way to get William & Mary into the conversation here, right? So he was a great coach. Just tell me he was a great coach, right?
He was, man. He was a hard coach, but he was a great coach. And, you know, he got us prepared. And I had a great time playing under him.
And sometimes the hardest coaches are the best coaches, but that's terrific. I know him to be a fine, certainly a fine coach. But, Sean, just tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, if you would. And I had an opportunity to interact with you just a little bit and when you were here, when I was doing the broadcast. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, what your responsibilities will be with the NFL Network, and then we'll talk about some things about your career and where to see the Bills going. But tell us what you're doing now, what your responsibilities will be, and your role with the NFL Network.
Well, I'm on the NFL Network. I have the two shows, actually, the AM show, which I'm shooting tonight, and that's the show that airs 6 o'clock in the morning there from 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm also on Total Access a lot as well, man. So just getting a chance to talk about football. Honestly, other than putting on the suit, it's really not work, you know, to get a chance to talk about football and let people hear your thoughts. And I try to be as candid and as straight up as possible. And, you know, people like that. So
I just try to keep it that way so the audience know that they're getting the real deal.
Yeah, certainly you'll have a lot of insight to offer fans and try to talk to them about some of the little nuances to create opportunities from, particularly from the defensive side of the ball. Sean, I remember when my wife called me, the first broadcast I ever did was the Bills were playing in New England in an opening game, and I don't even remember when it was, like 2006 or something, sometime. And she called me after the game. She said, how'd it go? And I said, it was a lot easier to talk about it than it is to play it. There's no question about that. I'm sure you'll find some similar things. But tell us what your responsibilities are in your broadcast work. Tell us what you're going to be doing. Are you going to analyze a certain a conference or a division, or you got the whole league? You're going to cover the whole league?
Oh, yes, the whole league. And obviously because I played in San Diego, I played for the Bills. You try not to be biased because, you know, I still have a bunch of guys that's in the locker room and, you know, two great organizations that I got opportunity to play for. But just really talking about the game as a whole because just playing it for so long and then having the career that I had and just knowing the game inside and out, sometimes it's easier to talk not just about the X's and O's, because I think the most people who observe the game, watch it, can analyze on that part of it. But I really try to talk about maybe what's going through a guy's mind or a player's mind or a team's mind or what's happening in the locker room at this point, you know, when these changes are made. If a guy is cut, if another guy is brought in there and they're competing for a job, for those things I try to let kind of audience in on what happens inside the locker room and what's going on within the organization.
Yeah, and that would be great insight, particularly from your perspective, because I know, and I'm sure you do as well, that you know, we always talk about the whole being greater than the sum of the parts, because what goes on in that locker room can change the dynamics of what happens on the football field. And regardless of what kind of talent you have, you can play to another level, or you can not reach a level of expectation if you don't have things right in the locker room, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, I had the opportunity to play for so many great coaches and some coaches not so great. And, you know, a bunch of Hall of Fame players, guys who were friends of mine who was kind of struggling to make a team and get on the roster. So I just, from my aspects of the game, I can just talk about it all. And like I said, I try to be upfront and honest about everything, regardless if somebody, if people don't agree with me or not. I just kind of really tell it like it is. And then let them make a decision based off of my analysis and what, you know, my knowledge of the game.
Terrific. Tell us what you think about some of the off-season acquisitions here that the Buffalo Bills made. I mean, I have had an opportunity to spend a little time with Coach Marone and in some meeting time and talk about some of the things that he's trying to do here in Buffalo from a cultural standpoint. And then he brings in some of these guys in the offseason, particularly at the linebacker position. Tell us what impact you think those guys, Rivers and Brandon Spikes, can make in with this Bills defense this year and what you see from those guys, Sean.
Well, you know, when you bring in a set of vets like that, it's obviously going to change the dimensions of your defense and of your team because, you know, Brandon Spikes is coming from a situation that he's accustomed to winning. So whenever you get guys from winning organizations and they come over to organizations who have not won that much in the past, they notice immediately that something's not right in the locker room, something's not right, you know, in the preparation or just all around. So they know something is not right, so they bring that winning attitude and the culture to the locker room and say, listen, guys, this is the way we're supposed to do it because I've been there. And you know, I read a quote that he said that Brandon Spikes, I'm talking about, that they're going to shock the world. I don't think they're going to shock anybody. I really do think they have not only a chance to be good this year, but to get in the playoffs. You know, the Jets and some of the other people, some other teams in that division got better. But so did the Bills in many aspects of the game, you know, making a jump up, and a lot of people didn't understand it, but I understood it completely in the draft, making that big jump for Sammy Watkins. I mean, you have to go get a guy like that, and one of those guys come around like once a decade, and if you sit around and wait, he's not going to be there. You still got an awesome backfield in CJ back there and Freddie, and then also some added depth. EJ Manuel stays healthy this year. They have a shot. Obviously, it took a little bit of a hit because of Stevie Johnson's gone. you know, he'll be missed not only in the organization but in the community. You know, he was heavily backed, and they loved him in Buffalo. He'll be missed there, but bringing in Mike Williams, you know, having Sammy Watkins there and having Woods, you just have so many different talents. If E.J. Manuel stays healthy, that's what it's going to be about this year. I mean, obviously he can play, but he has to stay on the field in order to get things done.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You went through the entire roster. Hey, that was a great assessment, I think, and I would agree with you because I think the veteran leadership that Rivers and Brandon Spikes can bring to this defense. And, guys, I mean, there are some good veteran leaders on this club, but not veteran leaders that have had the success that Brandon Spikes has had. And now he has an opportunity to bring that type of success and say, look, if we work to this capacity, we're going to be able to achieve these things. And he's got some rings on his fingers and some wins under his belt to back those kinds of things up. Give us one more assessment. Tell us, give me the team that you think is this year that is going to turn some heads, that has kind of low expectations, that has done some things in the draft, and that you think might be a team that shocks the world, like Brandon said about the Bills. But I agree with you in that regard with that quote, that he kind of meant that they're going to start preparing like they need to be able to win. But tell us about a team maybe in the league that you think that is going to surpass some expectations that maybe people have.
You know, outside of saying the Bills, because I really do think that, you know, they can be looking at a 9-7 year and somehow get the playoffs and do some damage there. Looking at the Cleveland Browns, you know, to take the risk that they did to kind of wait the second time around to get Johnny Manziel, that was a big risk because they covered two draft needs at once. To me, they had the best draft, and how they got guys in there and filled the shoes of several different positions. But you can go all around the field. I think that, you know, if the Texans have a quarterback to go out there and play halfway decent, maybe a little better than halfway decent, they're going to be fine because obviously they're stacked on defense. They have, you know, Cushing coming back there, J.J. Watt. Clowney, I think, is going to go out and be a monster this year. I think he's actually going to live up to the hype. You know, Bortles, if Bortles go out and play well, they need a franchise quarterback. If they got a guy down there that's going to turn some heads, and another guy, if he can step in and play well, they'll be pretty good this year and actually fill up the stands and get the people in the stadium. So I can kind of walk across all the different teams and some of the things they've done this offseason, especially in the draft. But just coming up, man, I think that one thing that the Bills did I really liked was to bring in the veterans. You see a lot of teams starting to go younger, and that's fine. You want young guys in your roster because you want to start building for the future, but you have to have those veteran guys there to kind of round everybody up, who's been there, done that, who understands what it means, you know, to be in the National Football League and to be a professional. So if you have those guys there, it's going to kind of mold that those young players around you, so you need those guys there.
Yeah, and that's a great thought there, Sean. And I know that when you came here to Buffalo, particularly when you did a great job mentoring some of the Bills' young linebacking core. A lot of those guys are playing in other places now because of the way free agency works. But I know when you came, that's one of the things that you really wanted to do here, and began to set that culture here during your time here. And I certainly appreciate that because I'm a guy too that says that. Some coaches say that winning's the only thing, and I'm saying, yeah, but you win with high character guys. You win with guys who know how to prepare. You win with guys who do the right things on and off the field. So we certainly appreciated your time when you were here in Buffalo in a Bills uniform. Tell us a little bit. I'm going to change subjects on you a little bit. Now, when I played with a guy named Monty Brown, and he spent some time in the WWE, and you're not in the WWE, but you're doing some. Are you doing some broadcast or analyst work with them or with that organization?
Yeah, obviously I've been a fan forever. It's two things that I wanted to do growing up, and I may be able to get a chance to do both. So you're talking about somebody living a dream and being able to perform at the highest level in two different arenas, in two different areas, I just may be able to get a chance to do that. So we are still in talks with WWE, so obviously a great organization to be a part of, and being you know, a star and being the chance to experience going to the Pro Bowl, being playing at the highest level and for a certain amount of years while I was healthy and playing well, I was considered the best at what I did. And now I get a chance to go do something else as a childhood dream possibly. That doesn't happen to too many people. And like I said, it's a big possibility that might be happening. So.
Well, that's great. Hopefully you'll have that opportunity. We'll have to look forward to that. Tell us, I'll tell you what, where are you living now? You living in San Diego?
Well, you know, San Diego's still always going to be my second home, but I spend a lot of my time on the road, you know, shooting between the NFL Network and a bunch of other shows. You know, obviously I have the Lights Out brand, you know, as many seen, the big thing with Nike that happened not too long ago. I just really hope that the brand keeps on building and look at the lifestyle brand, something I've been building since really I was 12 years old. And now it's just part of living a dream, man, just really playing everything out. And I couldn't be in a better situation.
All right, now you got to tell me, you got to really tell me, is the weather better in San Diego or Buffalo? Now, come on, be honest with me now.
Hey, you know what, Buffalo? I try to tell people sometimes Buffalo's not so bad in the summer.
Yeah, and you're right. From about the middle of March to the middle of October, it's really nice. But in between those in those winter months, you never know what you're going to get here. But we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. And John's not here tonight; he's off tonight. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts about the Bills and about what you're doing. And people in Western New York, I'm sure, will be looking for Sean Merriman on the NFL Network. We appreciate your thoughts, Sean, tonight. And I hope you and your family are well. And good luck with this season and with your opportunity with WWE as well.
Thanks, Father. I appreciate it. Tell John I said hello for me.
I will do that, right? Promptly.
All right.
Have a good evening, Sean. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We have an opportunity now. We got a call on the line. Brad from Pennsylvania and wants to talk about the Bills' defensive backfield, some of the comments that Sean Merriman made and the interview that Chris Brown had with Denora Searcy. So let's hear what Brad has to say and comments on the Bills' backfield.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to thank you and John, Mark, I do live in Pennsylvania, so I listen to you guys every Sunday. You guys do an excellent job. I also want to thank you. I grew up in your era, of course, when you, John, Thurman were playing. I was fortunate to be able to see those great Bills seasons. I can only, I have a little boy now. I can only hope that when he grows up or as he gets bigger that he looks up to someone like yourself. You guys were talking about character. You have character. You always have, both on and off the field. Always well-spoken, had good values. So I can only hope he looks up to someone like you as he grows up. Let me say my two concerns with the defense. First of all, I do have a concern with the safeties. If you recall, at the beginning of the year, Bird was out, of course. And I look back, especially at that Jets game, Rodgers got burnt deep a lot of times in that game, many times. But it seemed to me that the safety, Aaron Williams being one of them, didn't have his back, wasn't covering over the top. You watch the film, of course. Maybe you can shed some light on that. Also, another concern I have about their defense is Spikes. Word out on him, of course, is he is a liability when it comes to pass downs. And we're going to face some great quarterbacks who are going to take advantage of our weaknesses. And if he's out in the field, quarterbacks like Brady is going to keep him out there and keep going at him as much as he can. I'll hang up, Mark, and listen to your comments. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, great questions. I appreciate your comments, too. And appreciate your comments, your thoughts about me. But I think that's what you're supposed to do. That's the way you win, I think, in organizations, whether it's high school athletics or college athletics or professional athletics. You win with character guys, and there's a lot of character guys across this country that put their heart and their soul into their sport. So it's nice to see that, and hopefully your son will have that opportunity to play when as he grows. The two concerns, you had a concern at safety. Aaron Williams transitioned from safety. Last year was really the first full-time year that he had at safety, so I think his growth is going to be immense. and Coach Henderson harps on these guys. These guys will understand how to play in the deep half or the deep third or come down into the box in between the tackles and perhaps cover in a situation when one of those guys, Nickell Robey or Graham, Corey Graham or Ron Brooks is coming off the slot in a blitz situation. And there are really specific nuances that you have to have as a safety. And people think sometimes you just go back there at free safety or playing a deep half or deep middle, and you just line up there and you play center field like you do in baseball. Although there are some similarities, you have to understand where everybody is on the football field, and you have to have the peripheral vision to understand where those guys are. And I'm going to give you an example, Brad. So if Aaron Williams or Searcy or one of those guys is playing the deep half, and Denoris talked earlier in his interview with Chris Brown about really understanding how to play cover two, and here's what he's talking about, because he knows how to play cover two, but there are little nuances. So if they have two receivers on your side, and you're the safety, let's say on the right side, if you can visualize it, they've got two receivers. They've got a wide receiver who's about 4 yards outside the numbers. Now, these defensive backs should know that if you're 4 yards outside the numbers, you are 8 yards from the sideline. I don't know if they know that. I'm guessing that Coach Henderson teaches them that, because the numbers are 12 yards from the sideline and the numbers are 2 yards wide. So you got to know exactly where these guys are on the field. Now, you got a receiver or a tight end, a big tight end, who's just outside the hash, and he's going to run down just outside the hash, and the receiver's going to go right on the sideline. And that's a huge spread for a defensive back, particularly a cover two guy, to be able to cover. If you're backpedaling in that situation and you have that half of the field, if you get more than 4.5 yards lateral separation from that inside receiver, you will never make that play as a defensive back, never. Because Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning, those guys will fit that in before you can make up that space if you drift more than 4.5 yards. So those are the things, those are the little things that I think that OTAs have the opportunity to correct. Although I think I would have hated OTAs because you liked your off season, but that it gives the young guys an opportunity to learn those really specific things that they need to understand to play well in a particular defense. Brandon Spikes. Now let's go to Brandon Spikes covering a pass. I mean, he's not going to be a great man-to-man guy, but he understands leverage control in zone defenses. I mean, they played a lot of zone. Actually, this past year, they played some man, quite a bit of man in New England, but they played an awful lot of zone, quarters coverage, when they're playing the two safeties kind of in a deep half, and then the corners are allowing those passes to be completed in front of them, but they're just covering on the deep end. But now the inside linebacker has to understand leverage control. And let me tell you something. Brandon Spikes, he understands leverage control. He knows where he needs to be. Now, he's not going to cover guys out in space all the time and work against a really dynamic tight end, but he doesn't have to be able to do that. And I don't know that – I mean, it's for Coach Schwartz and Coach Henderson and those guys to determine who's going to be on the field on third down. But I'm guessing Kiko Alonso is going to be on the field on third down because he has such great speed. But it's a terrific acquisition for the Bills because now you got a guy inside who can play the inside and be really staunch against the run. Then you're able to move Kiko, slide him to the outside, and leave him where he's not going to get as many guys coming downfield and able to block him at that second level. So that's going to be a really good thing, I think, for the Bills' defensive scheme. And then you got a guy in Preston Brown that they signed out of Louisville. They drafted out of Louisville, a guy who's extremely instinctive. And my understanding is he plays the game quite a bit like Brandon Spikes, and it'll be interesting to see the mentorship protege role that goes on there. So I think give Brandon Spikes a chance to demonstrate what he can do in the pass defense before we make those assessments, because I think that he's going to surprise you. This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio, brought to you by NOCO. We'll be back after these messages.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this is Mark Kelso filling in for John Murphy this evening on the John Murphy Show and Buffalo Bills Radio. And we're going to have an interview here with Nathaniel Hackett that John Murphy conducted last week after the second week of OTAs, talking about the progress of E.J. Manuel. Then we have some a caller who has a question about E.J. Manuel, but let's hear what offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett has to say about E.J.'s progress here in this first offseason.
You're grinding still in this offseason, don't you?
No doubt. We want to get everything rolling so we can win a Super Bowl. That's all that matters to me, getting in the playoffs, winning the division.
How can you be that intense in May and June? I mean, can you maintain that sort of intensity?
Heck yeah, I'm a football coach. Yeah, I mean, you sit there, I blink, I'm being paid to coach football. I mean, this is unbelievable. Hang out with guys like EJ and CJ and Sammy and Robert and Wood. I mean, it's an amazing thing to do. And if you don't have passion for it, you're never going to be successful. And I just love it. It's not that I'm grinding. It's just that I love it.
You mentioned Sammy, and 5 days into OTAs, it's pretty clear that this guy is a special talent, Sammy Watkins, isn't it?
I'll tell you, yesterday it was having Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins out there, and then you throw in Hogan and Marquise and all those guys, and I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, it was a different deal yesterday. I think the quarterback, his feeling for those guys was so strong, and he was just putting that ball out there, anticipating it, and you know, those guys can make some great catches and make great catches and run after the catch, and it was fun to watch.
There are catches that Sammy makes that the quarterback sometimes doesn't have to put it right in the right spot. Sammy is going to make all of these quarterbacks look better, don't you think?
His catch radius is pretty impressive, and it's one of those things you just want to find him and give him the ball. We got a lot of guys that are like that, and I'm excited about giving them all the ball.
The one dimension that we don't see from Sammy in these OTAs is his work after the catch, because there's no contact, there's no tackling. But I've watched Clemson tape. The guy is like sturdy. He's strong on his feet. He's tough to bring down with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he's a thick guy. I mean, I remember I was watching one of the games, and one of the first plays I saw, he caught a little post route, and two guys just, I mean, he should have gotten nailed. And he runs over both of them and then goes to the house. I mean, it was awesome. It was something fun to watch. And it's a little different in the NFL, though. I mean, as Robert found out, Marquise found out, I mean, it's a little different in the NFL. You have to learn how it works and go from there.
And while we're talking about receivers, another impressive guy in the receiver corps, 5 days of OTAs, has been Chris Hogan, I think.
I'll tell you, 7-11.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always open. It doesn't make any sense to me. But, no, he's done a great job. He understands the offense. He's done a great job with his speed. I think that's really helped him. He's gotten a lot faster. And he's just such a big, strong guy. And you know, he loves being out there. It's one of those things. So it's fun to see what he's done, and he really has done some nice things.
I asked him if he was bigger than last year. He denied it, but maybe he's just playing bigger or something.
I think that's what it is. It's for anybody. Whenever you're in a system for 2 years in a row, everything's easier. You know, you just get to breathe easy. You know what's going on. You're not running plays. You're playing those plays. You know, you're actually playing football. It's not, ooh, what is that? Okay, that's what I have. It's, I know what I got, and I get to attack, and I get to understand where I fit. I think it's all the guys. I mean, just watching Robert the other day, Marquise, I mean, all those guys, that Kevin Elliott, all the guys that have been around here and have seen it, they've got that ability to really attack and not just try to think about what the play is.
Bills offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett in studio with us. Tell me about E.J. Manuel and what you see, what differences you see from last year to this year so far.
Well, I mean, just like those other guys, I mean, being a rookie, there's so many things that are going on, just from the speed of the game, the amount of the playbook, the change of the offense that he's been in for 5 years at Florida State. I think he was there 5 or 4. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just that whole transition, as you were, is so hard on a guy. And then you add in some of the other things that were going on with him throughout the whole year with the injuries and stuff, and, you know, starting, not starting. And then now it's like, okay, it's a clean slate, but he already knows the offense and he doesn't have all those distractions. So now it's his focus, his demeanor, his understanding of what it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL and what he has to do. Just how he presents everything, how he presents himself in the huddle, how he runs the huddle, how he throws the ball. There are throws that he's making, or at least attempting, that he never would have because he wouldn't have understood where he should have gone with the ball. And I think those are the things that are exciting to see him as he develops into what he wants to be. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, he's a guy that knows he wants to prove a lot, and he's got all the skills, and he's going to do that.
I feel like we saw a lot of that yesterday's practice, Tuesday's practice, when EJ and the other quarterbacks, but your offense in general was firing it downfield. You were taking some big shots downfield yesterday.
It was fun. There were some good things. It's a roller coaster in these OTAs.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's some great stuff and there's some bad stuff. And I think that, you know, all the quarterbacks have had some good moments and some what are you doing moments. And yesterday just happened to be one of those good ones. And without pads, it's just kind of like flag football anyway, so I'm just not trying to get too excited or too upset.
Me too. That's all we have, though, OTAs here in early June. You mentioned to me how EJ's approach seems a little bit different this year than it was a year ago. His demeanor, maybe?
Yeah, it's the demeanor. It's the way that he's working. He's so much more focused, I think, is what it is. It's he understands how people look at him and the things that he has to prove, and I feel as though he wants to prove them, everybody, himself primarily, just prove everybody wrong, because he knows what kind of player he can be. And he knows the work that he could put in on and make himself better. Because there were so many things that he missed that he's upset about, going, wow, you know, there were some things I could have done. But as a rookie, those are hard. And that's what I try to explain to him. You know, you're not going to be able to make that play as a rookie. That's hard. And now he's starting to feel that. So that's where it's getting to. And it's his just ferocity to say, look, I'm going to work harder than everybody. I mean, I challenge him. I say, work harder than me. Let's go, man. he's doing his best to do that. He's not going to, though.
There's so much on EJ's shoulders, it seems. Maybe unfairly. But when you look at the weapons that have been placed around him, when you look at the expectations.
There's pressure on everybody. I mean, EJ plays a position because that's what it's always been like for a quarterback. Let's be real. I mean, any quarterback across this league, no matter what, is going to be the one that everybody looks at, no matter what. And I think he knows that. I don't think that bothers him. He just wants to be great. I mean, and that's all you can ask from a guy. He wants to put in all the work. He wants to do whatever it takes. He just wants to work, become great, and do every single thing he can to do that. And that's all you can ask for.
Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett in studio with us. Tell me how your relationship with EJ and the quarterbacks is changed, or how the interaction has changed with a new quarterbacks coach, with the quarterback coach, and he's in the room with those guys. Has it changed much at all?
It hasn't. I'll tell you, Coach Downing has been awesome. I mean, he's a guy that you know, I wanted somebody that could be there for those guys at all times, that could allow me to concentrate on the other guys and kind of how everything fits together. And my relationship with those guys is never going to change. I think it's one of those things is with the quarterback changes, and I think since I've been here, we've had 10 quarterbacks come into this building. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, last year was just nuts. And I think to have that, have somebody there, it's more for support. And he also has coached a great player in Stafford at Detroit. So he brings a ton to the table to help those guys. And, I mean, it's so positive. Both he and Haas are so positive. And Rob, all the guys that we've got here coming into this thing are to make me better as a coach, because I just want to get better. I want to work hard. I want to become better just like if the players do. And I think those guys have really pushed me, have pushed the players, and they just get to kind of put their thumb on those guys even more, and I get to put my thumb on the whole offense as a group and hold everybody accountable. So when it comes to quarterbacks, hey, I go in there and I'm still with those guys, but Todd's doing a great job, and I'm so lucky to have him here.
What sort of a role have you carved out for Jim Hostler, the senior offensive assistant, at least now in OTAs? I know in the season he's got a different set of duties. Right?
I'll tell you, there's nothing better than having a guy that's able to evaluate everything. I mean, there isn't. I mean, my dad used to do it for me at Syracuse. I mean, he would critique how I coached, how I looked at things. I mean, to have Coach Haas here with as much experience as he has had is amazing. I mean, to be out there and just talk about just how we do our walkthrough, how we do our routes first air and all those things, just to make everything more efficient, because that's all we want. We just all want to be accountable, and we all want to always be on that upswing to becoming great and getting to the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. And he's a guy that's won a Super Bowl. So for him, he looks at everything. I mean, he's watching everything. He's watching me. He's watching the quarterbacks. He's watching the wide receivers, the line. He watches the film with everybody. Every single thing we can do to get better, no matter how small, no matter how big it might be, that's the key. And that's what Coach Haas does. He always has that extra, hey, what about this? Hey, bring this up. Hey, this and that, which has already made us so much better. I mean, just how we've changed some of the things just since he and Todd and Rob have been here is going to make us so much better. I'm so happy to have him.
You know, we talked about, I want to ask you about the running back group, and we talked about placing too much emphasis on OTAs. We've only got five, but one of the standouts to my eyes has been one of the new guys, Booby Dixon, who runs hard and has a great attitude, it seems, on the
field. He's awesome. It's funny. My best friend works out of the 49ers, and I called him right away and said, hey, what's going on? He goes, you are going to love this guy. I mean, he comes and brings that energy every day. Yeah. He's like, he is a clone of you, except I'm not as buff as him, but he's been so much fun to have out there. I mean, he's a workhorse. He goes hard, and I mean, he works, and you know, for him, it's still that standpoint of learning the system, understanding the system, and understanding where he's got to be. But when he gets it, he goes hard, and he's fun to have in there. He fits in good with the group.
You have a dynamic running back in C.J. Spiller, who struggled with a high ankle sprain all last year. Healthy now, he told us last week how good he feels. What can you do differently for C.J. this year, and how can you use him more effectively?
All kinds of fun things. I mean, you could put him all over the place, and I think that's something them that when you have the depth at that position, you're allowed to do that. When you're healthy and you have the depth at that position, you have the ability to do a lot of different things with running backs, especially a guy like C.J. Spiller that's very dynamic, and Fred and Bryce, all these guys. It's so exciting. Heck, Frank, putting all those guys. Do whatever you can have. If you have that depth, it allows you to do more. And the longer everybody plays together and works together, the more things you can do. And I think that's for us to get consistency with the same lineup, with the same group, and keep people healthy allows us to really expand the things that we can do with everybody.
Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett in studio with us. Tell me what your goals are in OTAs. You've got, five down and next? I think you got about five more to go before you get to minicamp.
We only have five in that minicamp. I think the thing is for everybody just keep learning the system, understand the system, understand the different nuances, and take what the defense gives you. You know, Coach Schwartz has been very aggressive, and it's fun to go against because it's a lot more realistic on what we'll face each week. And I think
last year's defense was all over the place.
There were people all over the place, and that's something that we face too. So we have to be ready for that. But for this, it's most of the games that we play are more traditional things, and I think that's what Coach Schwartz does, and he does it really good. And I think for us that helps EJ just seeing cover two. I mean, he never saw cover two one time until he got into a game. Just to have that mentality and understand just whole new coverage that shows up a ton in the NFL is going to help EJ, help all the wide receivers on what we're trying to accomplish. And we've taken advantage of it sometimes, and it's killed us a couple times. So I think that all that stuff, just understanding defenses, understanding the progressions, understanding the offense, just getting better. I mean, the good thing is we're not putting stuff new in. It's all stuff that the guys have had, they've heard. So it's now repeating it and giving it to them all over again. Kind of like if you had to go back to senior year in high school again, you got to go back, you'd probably do it better. You know a lot more. It's the same thing with these guys right now, is that they're getting to understand the system and do more now.
Nathaniel, thank you. Great to have you in here. We got to do it more often, man.
Hey, I'm here.
I know you are. You're here all the time.
That's true.
Yeah, John Murphy talking to Bills coach Nathaniel Hackett. And there's a couple things he said in there I just wanted to point out. Number one is, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to my senior year in high school. I'm content right where I am right now. I'm not going back there. But does he sound like a kid in a candy shop who's got like a bag of goodies with all this offensive personnel, and he's excited about what they can do, and he's excited about E.J. Manuel and his growth here in his second year? And he said one thing that I think is very important, something that I like to talk about a lot, is he's just going to be able to play the down this year. He's not going to think the down. He's going to think before and play during. Last year, he was thinking an awful lot because the systems were different. This year, he's just going to be able to play during the down, use his athleticism, and use all the tools that they have offensively to be successful. We have a call from Jersey City. Love Jersey City when the Bills get to New York to play the Jets or the Giants. And Mark from Jersey City has a question, I think, about E.J. Manuel.
Oh, hi, Mark. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate being able to talk to you. And I know from listening to you, you're a real film junkie, and having, you know, played the game at that level, know the mental, physical, and schematic side of it. You see the proliferation of all these independent scouting grading sites like Pro Football Focus, and, you know, because of the access to the All 22 film that the NFL provides, they're kind of critical of EJ, and they kind of ignore the fact he was a rookie quarterback almost. They say he's a rookie, but, you know, but he was throwing to predominantly rookie wide receivers and stuff, and they're pretty critical of him. Even the fans are. And the fans, unfortunately, nowadays, especially the younger ones, I think are more fans of Madden
and Mark,
than they are real football.
Hey, Mark, yes. I'm a rookie at this, and now my producer's saying we got to go to break, but we'll pick up your call when we come back, and we'll answer your question, okay?
Oh, I appreciate it, man.
No problem. We'll be right back after these messages. This is the John Murphy Show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, brought to you by NOCO.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yeah, Mark Kelso filling in for John Murphy. We're going back to Mark in Jersey City, who was talking about E.J. Manuel and had a question. And we got to be out of this segment at 54:50. We got two more calls after you, Mark. So wrap up your question. I'll try to answer it, and we'll try to get these other two calls.
Oh, I was just curious what your opinion is, since you watched so much film, played the game, about these independent scouting sites and these fantasy football, you know, so-called experts talking about EJ and their lack of confidence and faith in him because they've watched all 22 and they just say he missed throws and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, let's address the facts first. Did he miss throws? Yes. Was he a rookie? Yes. Did he make rookie mistakes? Yes. Does he need to complete more passes next year? Yes. Did he need to be better on third down and in the red area? Yes to all those questions. Let me tell you, though, something about E.J. Manuel. He is a young man who's going to be the first guy in, the last guy out. He's got outstanding character. He's got great leadership skills. He's going to be, I think he's going to be 12 to 15 pounds heavier. He's going to be stronger in an off-season strength and conditioning program. And he was working with rookie receivers who weren't exactly where he thought they were going to be. He's working under center when most of the time in college he worked from a shotgun snap. And the comfort level with his receivers was not always there. Plus, I think Coach Hackett is going to employ some pre-snap movement this year to uncover some defensive schemes that will give him early opportunities in the down. I have all the faith in the world in E.J. Manuel. I think he has the skill set to be able to succeed. His production was what you would expect from a rookie last year, particularly a rookie who tried to make things happen and suffered several injuries because of that, trying to make plays with his legs. The only time you need to make plays with your legs as a quarterback is if the touchdown is imminent or you need to really pick up a critical third down. Otherwise, you need to get rid of the football or, you know, try to escape that pocket. But stay out of that pressure and don't let those guys that are bigger and sometimes faster come up and drop the boom on you and with a big hit. So I think if he does those things, great success awaits. But they're going to surround him with great personnel as well. And Sammy Watkins is special. I'm going to tell you, he's special. I've only seen him practice twice, and I think he's special. So we'll see what happens. And I appreciate your question, Mark. Maybe we can go to Jerry in Buffalo, who's been waiting for a little while. He has some questions on statistics. We only got a couple minutes, Jerry. So when we got one question after you, can you make it quick?
Let me make it quicker. Thanks for taking the call. Listen, I'm kind of an older guy like yourself who's played through high school and college. I didn't play in the pros, but I pull my hair out every time I hear advanced statistics. I don't know. I mean, when I played, we had film study. We had tendencies. You know, this. I think they kind of made up a name for something that's been going on forever and ever. I just was curious about your comments on that. Thank you.
Statistics, they say statistics don't lie. Statistics lie every day. You can make statistics say anything you want. Guys don't generally know how to study film to understand what they need to get out of their film study to be prepared for an upcoming opponent. And the coaches will work with those guys. But when these guys are the best players in high school and college and in their conferences, then they don't have the opportunity sometimes, or they don't need that level of information. They need to really understand how to study film so that they're as best prepared as possible for their upcoming opponent. But statistics can lie all the time. I would agree with you, Jerry. Don, from New Orleans, I'm sorry. We're probably not going to have time to take that call.
And Mark,
maybe tomorrow.
Thank you. We'll call in tomorrow.
Yeah,
John Murphy
appreciate
Show
it.
Presented by NOCO. Thank you, Mark Kelso. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.